celebrate, you know, it's for those who died in service, but by extension, it's for all those who have served. So for any and everybody that has served, we thank you for your service. You know, right now we have a young man, Isaiah, he's already gone through basic training in the Marines, and he's just about to get, I think they have him in a holding pattern right now, but he's just about to go to the school he goes to. And so don't forget to pray for Isaiah and Ave. Amen. And by extension, we celebrate those who have served, and even our police officers, praise God. And don't, you know, going back to when I played high school football, I never saw the news get one single story right that I knew something about. You know, they themselves report false information that they've dreamed up on their own heads. Then 3 hours later, they're irate because the false information was given out. Well, they're the stupid ones that gave it out to start with. I don't know what happened in Uvalde, neither do you. Because they don't know everything that's happened yet, and everything hasn't been released yet. I know I've heard a bunch of stupid things as they, you know, even Fox is looking at CNN and don't want them to get ahead of them on some stories. So if everybody says something, they want to say it. If everybody turns on the police, and they turn on the police. They, you know, they have said some unbelievably stupid things about SWAT teams. Do you know that SWAT teams, it takes SWAT teams all across the nation an hour and a half to get to any scene. SWAT teams don't handle active shooters. There's Doug. He's on the SWAT team. Matter of fact, he is a leader, a team leader of the SWAT team. They recently had a thing in, you know, here in Bradley County where I think ATF and DEA and all the others are involved, but it's the SWAT team that's going to break into the house, and they get there and they say, Doug, you tell us what to do. Sergeant Graham, tell us, because he's the leader of the team, you know. And, you know, one former FBI guy is the charge of the Light Brigade. You know, the charge of the Light Brigade was a total, total failure. The men were cut down to pieces. A wrong order was given to charge those guns. They were cut down to pieces, and more importantly, they did not reach their objective. They did not accomplish one thing. Now, there's a famous poem about their charge because it does show their bravery and their courage. But you don't, you know, you when something, again, just don't believe everything you hear on the news until all the stories are released. When something's an active shooter, that's one thing. When it turns into a hostage, you're going to go blowing in there and blowing up kids that you don't, you know, you're not there with bullets flying past your head. If you're a team of Navy SEALs, the most highly regarded trained guys in the world, if they're going to rescue some hostages and they think there's five men guarding them and they get there and there's 200 guarding them, they don't go charging in there like idiots and all get mowed down. They get killed and they don't save the hostages. So I'm just saying there's more to the story. There's another side of the story, and maybe that ain't got anything to do with the gospel, but you take it for what it's worth or forget about it. But just don't believe everything you hear on the news. Amen. They like I said, they're so afraid somebody else is going to get a story ahead of them, they start reporting. I'm telling you, they reported facts that they turned around, that they themselves gave, that they dreamed up in their own heads, and they're mad because those facts were put out there. They're the ones that put them out there. I'm going to shut up. We're glad to have you if you're online. God bless you this morning. Let's look at Matthew chapter 14. Amen. Matthew 14. Such powerful, life-changing truths we look at this morning. Matthew 14, beginning with verse number 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Do you know how many? There's almost no cities in America that have SWAT teams that are full-time. That's all they do is stay at the station and wait on a call. Did you know that? Cleveland has a SWAT team. The SWAT team gets called. Doug's at home. Doug's at Watts Bar fishing with me when he gets the call. A town of 16,000 does not have six guys on three shifts a day sitting there with all their gear on waiting for a call. Neither does Cleveland, Tennessee. I doubt Chattanooga does. Do they? No. Does Nashville? No. Does Memphis?
Yes.
Memphis does. Only like 10 to 12 in the whole United States that they're sitting there being paid, ready to go. And even then, it takes them a while to get there. They're not the ones on the street. Verse 23, Matthew 14:23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening was come, he was, I have a bachelor's of science in criminal justice, by the way. I know things have changed a lot, but I do have a bachelor's of science in criminal justice. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." But Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come on the water." So he said, "Come." Now nobody can walk on water unless Jesus gives you the word to come. And Jesus gave Peter the word to come. So he's got the word of Almighty God. And he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down of the boat, he walked on the water because he believed in the word. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, "Oh, ye of little faith." Because he didn't walk on water? Because he didn't believe the word. "Oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, you know, I don't believe Jesus just drug him in the water back to the boat, do you? I think he stood back up and they walked back to the boat. Glory to God. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Peter walked on water because he had the word of God that he could do that. That was a miracle. Anytime God answers any kind of prayer for us, it is miraculous. But this was a miracle in the truest sense of the word miracle. A miracle in the truest sense is the suspension or alteration of the laws of nature. So this was a miracle in the truest sense. This miracle occurred because Jesus said, "Come." That's the word of God. And because Peter believed the word of God. Doesn't matter what God says to us, we have to believe it in order for it to come to pass in our lives. So the miracle, you know, was because of those two things. Peter said, "Lord, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." In other words, walk on the water and come to me. Glory to God. So Peter had the word of God that he could do it. He believed that word and started walking toward Jesus. But then, you know, he got his eyes off Jesus and he started looking around and he saw the wind was boisterous. I'm telling you, I've been out there when the wind's boisterous. I mean, if you're just 200 or 300 yards from shore, it can be, you know, in the natural, scary. I've been out there 100 miles offshore many times with my brother-in-law, you know. And so when he looked around and he took his eyes off Jesus, he focused on the circumstances. When he did, he got into fear, got out of faith, and he started to sink. So this miracle, again, was a result of Peter believing what Jesus said. That's two things. He had the word. And number two, he believed the word. Everybody say he had the word. Yes. And number two, he believed the word. So this was not just dependent on what Jesus said. Somebody says, "I believe if God does something, it'll last forever." Well, this didn't last forever. This was a true miracle. And when Peter got into doubt and fear, he lost the miracle. And it was not just depending on what Jesus said. If it was just depending on what Jesus said, then it wouldn't have mattered whether Peter believed or not. It wouldn't have mattered whether he got in fear or not. But it did matter. It did matter. Amen. And so it was dependent on Peter. It was also dependent on Peter believing the word. We know that because when he got into fear, he lost the miracle. And Jesus said to him, "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" Amen. See, it wasn't God's plan, it wasn't God's will for Peter just to walk halfway and then sink. How many of you know that wasn't God's plan? No, walking halfway was just a partial victory, and God doesn't want us to settle for just a partial victory in any area of life. Glory to God. He wants to meet our whole need, not just half our need. He doesn't want to just help us a little. He doesn't just partially heal us so we can feel a little bit better and get around a little bit better. No, he doesn't want to just sort of kind of meet our need financially. That's not what the Word of God teaches. You know, just one scripture, Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." that according to his riches in Christ Jesus is pretty good, but it's even better than that. It says, my God shall supply. So modern translations like the Amplified Bible will say, my God shall liberally supply. Because the word supply there means fill to the full. You know, fill to the full so that it's overflowing, so that it's abundance, so that it's more than enough. You see those scriptures used over and over and over again when it talks about finances. Amen. Glory to God. So my God shall supply. He shall liberally supply. He shall abundantly supply all of my financial need according to his riches and glory. He doesn't want to give us a partial victory in any area of life. And we should never settle for anything less than what God promised us in his word. Glory to God. But in order to get any results, not just a partial result, in order to get any results and not just settle for a partial victory, we must, number one, have God's word and believe God's word. And of course, this is the word of God. Sometimes, you know, and any word in here can become a word to you if you will meditate in it and allow the Holy Spirit to make it alive and real to your spirit, such as Philippians 4:19, such as by his stripes you were healed, such as you can do all things through Christ who strengthens. Any word that you meditate on and spend time in and study, that the Spirit of God will take that word and make it alive and real to you, and it will be a direct word from you. It will be a rhema word to you that you can act on. But then in the affairs of life, here's where people get in trouble. They just go out and they decide, well, we're going to do such and such, but God's not really leading them to do such and such, and they're trying to stand for things that God didn't lead them to do, and it won't work. Ask me how I know. So you have to make sure when it comes to the everyday affairs of life about what you should do, what, you know, and so forth, that you hear from heaven. Take some time to get before the Lord and pray and wait on the Lord and find out what he wants you to do. Then when you get that word, you can go out and act on it in faith. Amen. But we must have God's word. We must believe God's word. But two, and this is what we really want to emphasize, you must keep on believing. You must keep on believing. See, Peter started walking on the water, but he didn't keep believing. You must keep on believing God's word when you don't see immediate results or when you see things that contradict what God's word says about your situation. Peter would have never walked on the water, period, without first having the word come and without first believing that word. Amen? But for the miracle to be fully consummated, he had to stay in faith. He had to stay in faith. Everybody say, you have to stay in faith. So you have to get in faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Anybody can get in faith about anything. Anybody can get in faith about anything. You just go to the word of God and you find scriptures that deal with your particular situation, your particular trial, your particular need, and you meditate on those scriptures and you look at those. Turn your back on the symptoms. Turn your back on the diagnosis. Turn your back on everything you can see. Turn your back on what everybody's telling you, and you put the word of God before your eyes and you just look at it and read it and study it, and faith will come. Amen. But you have to get in faith and you have to stay in faith. Amen. The reason that you have to stay in faith is because many times things are happening behind the scenes or in the spiritual realm, you could say, that are not apparent to the natural senses. Amen. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, now you got to put Matthew's gospel account of this and Mark's account of this to get the full story. So watch this. In Mark's account, that's what most people are familiar with. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, you couldn't tell from the natural that anything happened. Jesus didn't say, from this day forward, no man eat fruit from you hereafter, or what he said. And the tree didn't instantly catch on fire, or it didn't instantly explode. No, you could see no visible change. And so it was the next day when they walked by there, that the disciples said, look, Lord, the fig tree you cursed is withered away. But if you read in Matthew's gospel, it says when Jesus spoke to the fig tree, immediately the fig tree withered away. But in Mark's gospel, it's obvious that it wasn't until the next day that the disciples noticed or could see that the fig tree had withered away. Because it says in Mark's gospel, the fig tree you cursed dried up from the roots. So the tree did die instantly. The roots died, but you couldn't tell any difference. You couldn't see any difference. Something was happening. Something did happen, but you couldn't see it. You couldn't see the effects of it, of the roots dying instantly until the next day. Just like if you go outside right now and you cut down a branch off a tree, it looks alive. I could cut a branch off a tree and then go back and tape it up. And if you walk by it, but it's dead, even though it looks alive. And that tree was dead the moment Jesus, something happened, but you couldn't tell it immediately. That's the point. Are you listening to me? Amen. So what happened to the roots of the tree was not visible until the next morning, even though it did die instantly. Are you listening to me? Glory to God. When we believe, we receive. You know, we pray the prayer of faith, and we believe God hears and answers our prayer, and we thank Him that He heard and answered our prayer. Or when we just agree with whatever the Word of God says about us, when we speak to the problem, to the mountain, and we tell it to go, and we believe that it goes, when we do that, things are happening in the spiritual realm, but we may not see in the natural the results of what's happening for a period of time. You go back to the book of Daniel. Daniel prayed. Amen. And in Daniel 10:12, listen to this. It says, an angel come and tells Daniel, from the first day you cried out, your words were heard, and I was sent. But if you know the story, this was 21 days later. How many of you know the story? This is 21 days later. And the angel says, because of demonic interference, it took me 21 days to get to you, but your prayer was heard the first day. I was in the Philippines one time, and we had when you got to the Philippines, you got lots and lots of people there, even ministers of the gospel. They've never owned a car in their life. And you see motorcycles by the thousands and thousands, tens of thousands. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Been to the Philippines. Just tens of... And of course, if you don't have any mode of transportation, a motorcycle, and it ain't like my big Harley. They're little bitty motorcycles. And sometimes you'll see them going up and down the road, and they'll have five or six people on this motorcycle. Am I exaggerating? Yeah. And they're all... And you know, but if you don't have any... Think about it. If you never owned a car in your life, would owning a motorcycle be a blessing? I mean, you could... For me to walk to church here, take me 2.5 hours. I can get here in 6 minutes on a motorcycle, even a little one. Praise God. And so I was talking about this pastor there named Babon. That was his name, Pastor Babon. And I said, so here you are, you believe you receive a brand new motorcycle because you need one for the ministry and you need one to travel around. You believe you receive it, and God immediately dispatches that and causes things to happen, and He's working on people's hearts to do things for you and to get the money to you and so forth. And so you thank Him for 1 day, you thank Him for 2 days, you thank Him for 3 days, you thank Him for 4 days. But around the seventh or eighth day, that motorcycle, it's on its way. It's coming. You can't see it. You can't see it, but it's coming. It's coming. Things are happening. God's moved on somebody's heart. He's making arrangements to get the money out. He's going to the dealership. But about the 10th day, you, like Peter, begin to look around and say, well, I'm never going to get that motorcycle. It's not coming. I don't know why I thought I could have a motorcycle. I'll never have a motorcycle. And God looks at Jesus, and Jesus looks at God, and He says, come on back, boys. Bring the motorcycle with you. And then 3 days later, the ministry and I, that I was with another ministry, we gave him a brand new motorcycle, praise God. Hallelujah. But that's exactly how it works. Daniel prayed, and he said, he's demonic interference. You know, 1 Thessalonians 2:18, Paul said this, we would have come to you once and again, but Satan hindered us. He can't stop all things. But he has a certain amount of power. He has a certain amount of ability to hinder things. Ultimately and finally, he cannot stop us, but he may slow the answer down. That's why you need to keep believing. Somebody says, I don't believe that. Well, then just go mark 1 Thessalonians 2:18 out of your Bible. Just erase it. Cut it out. Every miracle or answer to prayer, this is what's important. Let me read to you something from Andrew Womack. This is going back to Daniel. God commanded Daniel's prayer to be answered 3 weeks before the message got to him. Satan hindered that prayer, and Satan tries to hinder our prayers too. And then he gives another scripture, 1 Peter 3:7. There are numerous ways that can happen. For instance, if we are praying for financial needs to be met, God isn't going to give us money directly. God doesn't have any dollar bills in heaven, and God doesn't counterfeit dollar bills. He doesn't drop them out of heaven. That's not how it works. How many of you know that's so? Amen. And so he says he doesn't have money, and it's against the law to counterfeit it. The Lord will use people to get money to us. So you may be standing in faith, but the people God is going to get the money to may not be. That will hinder your supply. Does this mean we are at the mercy of people? No. We can do something Daniel couldn't do. We can use our authority as believers and our ability to speak in tongues, to pray the perfect will of God, even when we don't know exactly what or where the hindrance is. This is how we shorten the time between amen and there it is. There are things that people can do sometimes to shorten between amen and there it is, but that's another subject. We can overcome the hindrances, but we need to recognize they do exist and not assume that if God has commanded something, that things always work instantly. Sometimes we, according to our faith, receive progressively. It's not God, it's us. Our faith is at a certain level, and we receive things progressively. Every miracle or answer to prayer in the Bible was not instantaneous. That's obvious. God gave the promised land to the Israelites little by little. That was wisdom. The Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, meaning they shall progressively get better and better. Amen. And so the devil, using demonic interference, are using men that will yield to him. You know, he has to have people yield to him, just like God has to have people yield to him, has a certain amount of authority and ability to try and hinder our prayers and faith from working. Bottom line, he cannot stop them, but he may slow the answer down, which just means you need to keep on believing. And many scriptures tell us to persevere in faith and to stand in faith and to hold on to our faith. Why? Why would the scriptures tell us to persevere in faith? Why would the scriptures tell us through faith and perseverance we inherit the promises? Why would the scriptures tell us to hold fast our confession of faith? Why would the scriptures tell us to stand fast in faith? Why? Because things don't always happen instantly. If they did, you wouldn't have to stand, you wouldn't have to persevere, and you wouldn't have to hold fast. Are you following me? That's why we're told to walk by faith and not by sight. And you understand sight represents all of our senses. We walk by sight and not by our senses. That's why Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the evidence of things not seen. I really like one translation, Sherry. It says, faith is the evidence of things not yet seen. It's your proof, it's your evidence that you got it, that you have it, even though it's not yet seen, or, see, all your senses are not yet felt. It doesn't feel like this arm is healed. The Word of God says it is, and if you'll believe it is whether it feels like it or not. Glory to God. So the key to receiving anything from God and the key to not settling for a partial victory is to keep on believing many times. Keep on believing. All right, let's look at some scriptures that back this up along these lines. Look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 12. Are you with me? I said all that real fast just to get to where we are right now. Hebrews chapter 6, but that's you know, setting it up. Hebrews 6, verse number 12. He said that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, first of all, we've got to deal with this word patience. Because when the Bible uses the word patience as it relates to faith, listen to me carefully now. When the Bible uses this word patience as it relates to faith, and it's used this way in the King James, the New King James, and most modern translations, it does not mean what people commonly think of when they hear the word patience. It does not mean to passively resign yourself to some situation are to, you know, we're to be patient with people in the sense with we put up with them and we love them regardless of their, you know, what they're doing to us. We love them anyway. But that's not what it means here. Here in the Greek, as it's used when it relates to faith, patience means to endure and persevere. To endure and persevere. Through faith and perseverance, you inherit not just faith, but through faith and perseverance, you inherit the promises. Now, really, perseverance is just faith that keeps on believing. That's how Andrew Womack defines the word patience in the Bible. Is faith over a, he defines it this way, faith over a long period of time. So it's faith and faith that keeps on believing. Faith that perseveres, that doesn't give up, that doesn't quit, that doesn't stop believing for whatever reason. So through faith and perseverance, we inherit the promises. Amen. So it means to endure, it means to persevere, and in the Greek it also means do not quit. Do not quit, do not give up, even though you're facing an extreme challenge or problem and the pressure because of that problem and challenge. It was actually a military term meant to tell a group of soldiers, you know, go stand on hill number 402 and we want you to stand and fight and defend that field and not give it up. They're going to put a lot of pressure on you, but you stand there and you don't give up that hill. See? So he's talking about pressure. That's part of the definition. The very definition of faith and patience is that you persevere even though there's pressure on you to quit believing. Because your mind's screaming at you. The devil's screaming at you. The circumstances are screaming at you. It doesn't seem to be working. Amen. But you don't yield to that pressure and you keep on believing. Glory to God. Are you listening to me? So it means to refuse to give up and quit believing God's word even though things don't appear to be changing, and even though what you can see totally contradicts what God has promised you. Rick Winter says, patience is the ability to remain steadfast and know that God's specific word to you will surely come to pass in your life. It provides the strength to continue pressing on with calm assurance and bold confidence, regardless of the adversity or the time that has transpired. Patience is an absolute essential key to receiving a promise of God. You will never fulfill the will of God for your life without patience. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. And then he gives Abraham an example. Hebrews 6:12, through faith and patience, through faith and endurance, we inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after Abraham, had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. He got in faith, and he stayed in faith. And because he stayed in faith, he obtained the promise. All right, so let's look at that. You can keep your place there in Hebrews if you like, because we'll come back. But look at Romans chapter 4, because this talks about Abraham. Romans chapter 4, verse number 17. Romans 4:17. Abraham obtained the promise after he patiently endured. And Hebrews is telling us it's through faith and this same type of endurance that you will obtain the promises or inherit the promises. And it says in verse 17, as it is written, that's the word. That's the word of God. God told Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations. Well, to become a father of many nations, you've got to have a child. You've got to have a son. Amen. But Abraham is incapable of having a son because he's 99 years old, almost 100. That's what it says, you know, in verse number 19. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. You go back and read in Genesis count, and it says he was 99 years old. Well, that's about 100 years old, isn't it? Yeah. Amen. And so he was dead. Sarah had always been barren and incapable in the natural of having a baby. So how are you going to become the father of many nations when you can't even have a child? Because God told him he would be. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead. And I like the King James, it says, who calls those things that be not as though they were. Somebody says, well, you know, the doctor gave me a diagnosis and the doctor said, I have this. I have an impression that somebody has received a diagnosis in the last bit here. I don't know if it's 2 weeks or 2 months, but it hadn't been too long, has received a diagnosis. But you are hungry for the Word. You are reading the Word. You are studying the Word. You are standing in faith. And the Lord says you're on the right track. You're on the right track. So the Lord diagnoses you as having a sickness or having a disease. That is a natural fact. Nobody is denying that. But you call those things that be not as though they were. And you say, but I know that's a natural fact. I realize that's a natural fact. See, that's what it really says about Abraham. He considered not. It actually says he considered in his own body, didn't consider it. In other words, he knew the natural facts, but he also considered what God's Word says. So you know what the natural facts are, but you say, I know that's what they say in the natural. I've been diagnosed with this, but I call myself healed because the Word of God says, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed and I am healed. I may not look healed, I may not feel healed, the doctor may not say I'm healed, but I call those things that be not as though they were. Why? Because I've got God's Word for it. I believe that and I keep believing that. Glory to God. And so verse 19, we're looking at his example. Or verse 18, who contrary to hope, there was no reason for him to hope, in hope believed, so that he might become the father of many nations. As it was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And being not weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. He didn't look at the wind and the waves. He kept his eyes on the promise. He did not consider his own body. He focused on the promise. He focused ultimately and finally, you know, if you read the story, that he made some mistakes, but God in the New Testament only records the victory. He did not consider his own body. Amen. Now dead, since he was already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced or fully persuaded. That's what faith is. Faith is always fully persuaded. It's fully convinced. If you're not fully persuaded, if you're not fully convinced, then go to those scriptures that deal with your situation and stay in them and read them and meditate on them and look at them and study them until you become fully persuaded. How do I know when I'm fully persuaded? When what God's Word says to you is more real than your symptoms, when God's Word says to you is more real than your circumstances, when what God's Word says to you is more real than anything you can see or feel, then you know you're fully persuaded. So that's Abraham. See? So he believed. He didn't consider his own body. He didn't waver. He was fully persuaded. And Hebrews 6:15 says, after he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. So we are to persevere. We are to endure. We are not to be moved off the Word. We are to keep believing when we face opposition or delay. Amen. I think that's a big thing that we don't talk about enough. There's time is involved sometimes between I believe, I receive, and there it is. And so delay is not denial. I said delay is not denial. Opposition is not denial. In other words, sometimes people it doesn't happen right away or doesn't happen in a day or two, and they think, well, I got my answer, and God said no. No, if you've got a word from God, that's why it's so important that first of all you go to the Bible and you get that word in your heart and you get it rooted and grounded in your heart and you get full of that word and you make sure that nobody could steal it from you, so nothing else matters to you. So I've heard people over the years say, you know, say that phrase, delay is not denial. But I first learned that from Phineas Dake. I heard that from Phineas Dake many, many, many years ago. You know, Phineas Dake wrote that very famous Bible. Anybody ever have a Dake's Bible? Raise your hand if you ever had a Dake's Bible. It's called a Dake's Annotated Bible. Most people call it Dake's Anointed Bible, but it was annotated. And Mr. Dake was an amazing man, had a tremendous memory. He could quote the whole Bible. He lived right over here in Lawrenceville, Georgia. And for many, many, many years, throughout most of the 19th century, for 100 years, his was the only Spirit-filled Bible that you could buy. And well-respected and so forth. But this is in his book, God's Plan for Man. He says, one of the greatest errors in the Christian world today is to accept any position, is to accept any opposition to answered prayer or any delay in answer to prayer as the will of God and as God's answer to us that it's not His will to grant what was asked. He says, that's a great error. One of the greatest errors in the Christian world today is to accept any opposition to answered prayer or any delay in answers to prayer as the will of God and as God's answer to us that it's not His will to grant us what we ask for. He goes on talking right in that's his chapter, and then he gives 10 steps to follow when faith seems weak and victory seems lost. Those 10 steps Brother Hagin taught on many times and turned into a book. And by the way, at the front of that book, on page 1, he gives Phineas Day credit and tells that's where he got the information. Matter of fact, out of this one book right here, I've heard some of the greatest faith leaders of our times preach dozens of messages out of Phineas Day's books. And so he says a lot of things. Everybody goes on to say about this. He says, remember, the moment you doubt or wonder why God has not answered or look around for some reason why He did not hear your prayer, or begin to accept the delay is the answer as the will of God for you not to have what you asked for, you are defeated because you fail to hold firm and unwavering faith in God for the answer. Amen. So delay is not denial. Everybody say that. Say delay is not denial. All right, look at Hebrews 10:23. Now, please don't misunderstand. Bulldog tenacity is an aspect of true faith. But bulldog tenacity in and of itself is not faith. The reason that you can be bold and you can be strong and that you can stand and not give in to the circumstances, not give in to the winds and waves of adversity, and not give in because there's a time going by is because, number one, you have the Word of God and you yourself have a revelation of that Word. It's alive and real in your spirit and you believe it. You're not standing just because I'm telling you to stand. Do you follow that? So you cannot skip step number one, which is in essence go to the Word for yourself and make sure you believe it for yourself. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith, New King James says our hope, without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. I like the United Bible Society's translation of this in its word study. It says, hold fast your confession of faith in the unshakable things we hope for without wavering. That's good. Hold fast your confession of faith in the unshakable things you hope for without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Again, why would you be tempted to waver? Because there is a time delay, or because there is opposition. Amen. Or because it doesn't look like anything is happening. Or because the wind and the waves. In other words, because you're facing circumstances that totally contradict what God's Word says about you. God's Word says that you know you're more than a conqueror and you feel like a total loser. But what's true? Your feelings are God's Word. God's Word. Amen. Glory to God. So we are to hold fast, hold tight. Don't let it slip away. Don't let it get away from you. Your confession of faith. Your confession of faith that you have what God said you have. Your confession of faith that your prayer was answered. Your confession of faith that you are whatever God says you are. Amen. Glory to God. So you hold fast, you hold tightly to your confession of faith that your prayer has been answered, or that what God's Word says about you is true without wavering. Now, thoughts may come to your mind. That doesn't mean you're wavering. But you know, as wavering is when you, like Peter, just get in fear and say and begin to think it's never going to happen and you begin to doubt. Through faith and patience, we obtain the promises. Again, to be able to do that, we must focus our attention on God and His Word and not on the problem. Amen. Now, real quickly, we're going to close with this. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Because James also talks along these lines. James is the Lord's half-brother. James in the Bible that wrote the book of James, that's the Lord's half-brother and the apostle. And so in James chapter 1, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Count it all joy, James 1, 2, when you fall into various trials. Trials there means test, challenges, problems, troubles. See the word temptations, that kind of misleads you, but he's talking about trials. He's talking about challenges. He's talking about some problem. He's talking about trouble. Amen. And here's where Andrew Womack says that he defines patience as faith over a prolonged time. Through faith and faith over a prolonged time that doesn't quit believing, that perseveres even though you have circumstances, even though there's a time delay. See, faith over a prolonged time. You got to get in faith and you got to stay in faith. That's the key. That's the key to miracles. Get in faith and stay in faith. So faith over a prolonged time. So count it all joy. Why do you count it all joy? I think we've missed it a little bit on the scripture. You count it all joy because when you persevere in the midst of the trouble, your faith will grow. And so here's an opportunity. A test or a challenge is an opportunity for my faith to grow. Of course, if I stay in faith and my faith grows and I become mature in faith and strong in faith, then I will overcome everything that the devil throws at me. I will get strong. You know, when I first got involved with this thing back in 1977, my one desire was to be strong in faith. If I'm strong in faith, I can ward off every attack of the devil. I can obtain every promise, and I can help others. That was what I can help others. The ultimate purpose of my faith is to win the world for the Lord Jesus Christ and to help others get healed and to help others get filled with the Spirit and help others get delivered and help others get free. Hallelujah. And so I'm counting it joy, not because I know I'm going to win in the end. I'm counting it joy because I'm going to get stronger in faith. Because I am going. See, it goes on to say, let patience have her perfect work. Let me read it. Amen. Let patience have its... knowing that the trying of your faith works your patience. It works it. Glory to God. It's like if you go to the gym, I don't care how many weights are in that gym, the gym will not give you muscles. You've got to have muscles before you go into that gym. But as you go in there to that gym and you put those muscles to work against the pressure of those barbells and weights, then your muscles will grow and increase and you will become stronger. I never cared for, working out. I played football and all that kind of stuff, but I hated the weight room. You know, my legs were big and strong, had big calf muscles, and I could on my back bench press 550 pounds, a lot more than anybody on the team. But when it come to weights like this, I was kind of a weakling, you know. We had guys in there that could bench press 400 pounds. I couldn't even get anywhere close to 200. And I didn't want to get on those things. But about 25 years ago, I got some weights and I wanted to do that and I wanted to increase. And so all of a sudden, I begin to work at weights where there's no coach screaming and yelling at you, and nobody to make fun of you. And so I'm just lifting 110 pounds and then 115. I'm older now and 125. And I got to where I could bench press 200 pounds. Because as I used my muscles against those weights, my muscles got stronger. And I did curls. I didn't care about being real strong. I just wanted to be well defined. And those curls will do that for you. Amen. So even though it was hard work, I knew that it was what it was going to produce. Work out with the weights, it caused me to become stronger. Amen. And so forth. So count it all joy because when you persevere in the midst of the trouble, your faith will grow. And of course, with a strong, mature faith, you will be victorious yourself and able to help others. And so that's what he says. Knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be mature, perfect, mature, complete, lacking nothing. So let patience, your ability to persevere and to keep believing over time and in the middle of contradictory circumstances, have its perfect work. The Amplified Classic says, let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play to do a thorough work. Then your faith will grow. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's released with actions and words out of your mouth. But it grows as you stand and persevere in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the problem. That's what causes growth. When you act on the word and put it to work, you don't get strong because a test came your way. Tests and trials will defeat you and slap you every which way and put you down if you don't believe the word of God. But when you believe the word of God and refuse to give up and quit and you persevere, that's when your faith grows. It grows because you acted on the word and you kept acting on the word of God, not because of the trial itself. Then your faith will grow because you worked it against the problem. You'll develop more faith and you won't lack anything. Closing with this, I promise. Over 40 years ago, I wanted to become strong in faith. That's why I read the Bible so much, because I read faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, reading the Bible, 60 times in 6 months was good for me, because my mind needed to be renewed and restored and helped. But faith doesn't come just because you read something and forget it. It comes because it, is made alive to your spirit by the Holy Spirit. But I wanted to become strong in faith. I wanted to be able to overcome, and I wanted to be able to help others. But I learned a long, long time ago that I would not have much success when it comes to faith if I didn't learn to keep believing and persevere. You got to get in faith initially and become fully persuaded, but you also have to keep believing. I knew that I had to keep believing and persevere in the midst of opposition, in the midst of delay, in the midst of contradictory circumstances. I learned that if I would truly, in reality, get in faith to start with and stay in faith, I could have exactly what God promised me. And that I didn't have to settle for any partial victories in any area of life in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen? Stand up with me. Praise God. Of course, to really get in faith so that you can then stay in faith, you have to believe that you have what God promised you, or that you have what you ask for in prayer. Whatsoever things you desire, Mark 11:24 says, whatsoever thing you ask for, whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe you receive. Believe God heard and answered your prayer. Believe you got it. So you have to believe you receive. You have to be fully persuaded and fully convinced that you received it, that you got it. Amen. Glory to God. So you may have a medical diagnosis or symptom that says you are sick or have a disease. But because Jesus took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses, and because of the stripes that wounded Him, we are healed, Isaiah said. Peter, looking back to the cross, said, because of those stripes that were placed on Him instead of you and that wounded Him, you were healed. Because of that, you can say, I call myself healed. That's calling those things to see. It's not as though you're healed in the natural, but you make it or break it point when it comes to faith. I call myself healed. I'm calling those things which be not as though they were. According to the Word of God, because I've got God's Word, I call myself healed. I call myself delivered. I call myself free from every sickness and disease. Glory to God. You may have been diagnosed, or your child may have been diagnosed with some mental disorder or some mental syndrome or some mental problem. There's hundreds of them these days. But we believe God's word and we say, I call my mind whole. I call my mind, call those things that be, I call my child's healed and delivered and whole and delivered from this syndrome. From a purely physical and natural viewpoint, you may feel like you're bound by some sin. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. God changed our nature. Only God can do that. You know the old saying, you know, a leopard can't get rid of his spots. Well, in the natural, that's true. But you see, God changed our nature. So you are to believe that you are a new creature in Christ Jesus, that your inner nature has been changed, and that God has delivered you from the power of sin and sinful habits, and they no longer have any control over your life. And so you call yourself delivered and free from demons and free from demonic activity in your life. Old timers seem to realize, you know, mighty men and women of God, sanctified men and women of God, holy men and women of God, but they seem to realize, as I read after them from the early 1900s and 1920s and 30s and so forth, that they seem to realize that you could feel like you were not delivered. Matter of fact, I was just reading this morning, or I looked it up, not just reading, I looked it up, because I knew Mrs. C. Newsom is one of those. She says, Satan will bring some evil things and he has the power to make you feel them and tries to make you believe they are the same old things you used to have or the same old things that you used to be. They are not. You must believe that you are separated from the old evil things, even if you feel them in all their power. You must believe you have the holy things of Christ in you when you cannot find one of them. God's law to everybody is unchangeable, and it's always, as you have believed, be it unto you. God never says he will make things as you feel, nor as you seem, nor does he even say they shall be as you pray, but he says many times it shall be exactly as you believe. So you are to believe that you are free, and you are to say with your mouth and confess with your mouth, I am free, I am delivered. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. According to the natural facts, you may be experiencing tremendous financial lack right now. But the truth is, and if you don't get anything else out of this message this morning, get this. The truth is, spiritual truth always trumps natural facts. It's a medical fact. But the Word of God is the truth, and truth trumps natural facts. What? Wait a minute, I'm not finished. When believed. When believed. When, but if you don't believe it, it won't override it. But you see, the truth is, spiritual truth always trumps natural facts when believed. And the truth is, God abundantly supplies all of my needs according to His riches and glory. And you can say, I call myself financially blessed. I did that as a young policeman, walking around with holes in both of my shoes. When I say walking around, I mean I was literally walking around. I was walking the beat downtown. We still walk the beat downtown. Somebody. Well, the new guy on the force got to do it a lot. And I had hope, and I would tell people, I was calling those things that be not as though they were when I said, my God supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory. When I was at home cutting out cardboard pieces to put inside my shoe so that the dirt and grime and, you know, and water wouldn't get up in them, I said, glory to God, I'm blessed financially. I'm blessed financially. What was I doing? I was calling those things that be not as though they were. Say, well, what happened? I don't know. I must have 7 pair of these skin boots that cost $300, $400, $600, $700 a piece today. I got a new pair of shoes is what happened. Hallelujah. Say it with me. Because of the Word of God and what it says to me, I call myself healed. I call myself well. I call my body well. I call my back well. I call my legs well. I call my knees well. I call my stomach well. I call my heart. I call my heart well. I call all my internal organs healed and whole and well. I call my neck well. I call my shoulders and arms well. I call my body well. I call my mind free. I call my mind well. I call my mind whole. I call my mind delivered. I call myself free from satanic control. I call myself free indeed and delivered. I'm not under the devil's control in any area of my life. I call myself abundantly blessed financially. Now shout about that and give the Lord praise about it in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 And that's how it's done. And that's how you do it over and over and over again. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Believe that you got what you prayed for, and then refuse to entertain any other thought or lie. Amen. And doesn't matter how big the giants are, doesn't matter how hard the wind's blowing or how big the waves are. Keep your focus and your attention on Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Say, I call myself healed and free from cancer. Amen. I call Anna. She's sitting right there. I call Anna healed and free of cancer in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Anybody here got that diagnosis I was talking about just in the last, say, 2 months? Got a diagnosis right here? Would you come up here and let me pray for you? Would you mind? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For what it's worth, I knew it was you. Excuse me. I said, for what it's worth, I knew it was you. And the Lord just wants us to surround you with love and faith and to agree with you and stand with you and believe with you. Glory to God. Glory to God. What did they diagnose you with? Do you mind telling me?
Excuse me.
What did they diagnose you with?
I have a nerve damage in my left ear. So
nerve damage. Yeah.
We are standing in faith.
Your left ear, right here.
Yes, sir.
And you're standing in faith. I pledge allegiance. This is my left. Lay your hand on his ear, Tony. He's standing in faith. Lord, I believe you are standing in faith. So what we're going to do is we just agree with you. Praise you. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come as a church and as a body of believers to just support him and to stand with him and agree with him that this nerve damage in his left ear is healed in the name of Jesus. We believe with him. He already has faith. We just add our faith to him and we agree that he is healed. And we call his ear well.
Amen.
We call his ear well. Amen. We call, everybody said together,
we call
his ear well.
His ear well.
In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Amen. 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 I agree with you in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen.
I don't believe it, but they said I have diabetes.
They did.
Dr. Amen. Swan said.
Yeah, yeah. Amen.
Ago.
Glory to God. Well, the Word of God calls
that's
you
right.
healed.
That's exactly
we called in the name of the Lord Jesus
yes.
Christ. We release
yes.
our faith.
Yes.
And we agree with
yes.
Linda.
Thank you.
Like our brother, she believes also.
Yes.
And so we agree with her and we say, be healed.
Yes.
We call her healed.
Yes.
And whole
Hallelujah.
And
yes.
well and free
yes.
of diabetes in the
yes.
name of Jesus. Her blood
Hallelujah.
Sugar count is exactly what it's supposed
yes.
to be. And she
Hallelujah.
Is well and she is whole.
Yes.
Margaret, come here, come here, come here, Margaret.
Thank
come
you,
here.
Jesus.
She is healed. She is well. We agree.
You,
put your hands on her and say, we agree.
We
yes.
agree.
Yes. We agree. Put your hands on her.
Thank
put your hands right there. Say, we agree.
We
agree in
yes.
the name of Jesus.
Glory
to God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. 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 Sure. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
You know, I hear in my spirit the Lord saying, we better be serious about standing for our healing. While we're here in this earth, because we're not going to need it in heaven.
That's right.
He's provided it while we're here. While we're here in this earth, He's provided healing. He's provided everything we need, but we better be serious that we want it and that we seek it. Just this was a great message to keep on believing, because we're not going to need it in heaven. Now's the time.
Now's the time. Amen. Now is the time. Praise God. As you're dismissed this morning, turn to somebody and say, I call you blessed. Say it like you mean it. And say, I call this nation blessed. I call this nation blessed in Jesus' name. God bless you. You're dismissed. You're dismissed.